Community to me means individual people that come together around a belief or a cause.
Having a group of friends or people that I can trust and come to with like problems and things when I need them.
My family, my neighbors, and my church family.
I have small group leaders who I can trust and friends.
We need each other. We can learn things, we can do things, but without each other, it doesn't really matter.
People striving to grow closer to God and are willing to help others.
People who let you be real and genuine, but who love you enough to not let you stay the way you are, to let you grow.
Others are standing in the gap for you, going through certain circumstances.
They can help each other out if they need help.
Community to me is the people, you know, the togetherness.
Doing life together.
Where people can go and grow in their relationship with Christ.
A group of people I can hang out and share my life with.
Community is a constant reminder that we are made to be together.
As we continue to collect our tithes and offerings, let me just mention a couple of things to you. Would you please open up your programs, whether you are a member or a guest? There's a connection card inside your programs. If you haven't filled that out yet, you can do that. Let us know. We can pray for you. As I mentioned earlier, the elders will be available for prayer and anointing at 6 o'clock tomorrow night in the Point. If you'd like to join us for that, we'd love to have you there for that. And we'll be talking about our connection event to get involved in a group connect. Please note that inside your programs on the right-hand side, when you open up your programs, it's a real small paragraph. It simply says group connect from 5:30 until 8 next Sunday evening. It's going to be an event where you'll be able to meet other people and get connected into a group as we go on this very interesting study of 6 weeks, us and the New Era Church, the African-American church we partner with, kind of in ministry together, and we're both going to go through this study based on the movie Woodlawn and what happened in that pretty interesting story. It was the first African-American football player at Alabama, but there's certainly a strong Christian component to the story. For us, we'll use that as an opportunity to talk about crossing lines, boundaries, racial lines and boundaries, economically, religiously, age-wise, okay, generationally. And so we're going to really just tear down those walls together. It's going to be a great celebration together. Hope you bring a guest with you as we launch the series on our Connection Weekend, September the 10th and 11th. We hope you'll be a part of that. Well, if you've been watching the Olympics, as my wife and I have been doing, you have probably been captured each time they show that big scene of this huge statue, haven't you? Called Christ the Redeemer in Rio. You can't miss it. That it's a signature visible sign when you are in Rio when they show that picture to you. The thing is 98 feet tall, 635 metric tons. How much is that? I don't know, a heck of a lot, okay? And the base is even beyond that. I mean, millions of people travel around the world every year to see this thing. But it was not easy getting it built. They started in the late 1800s, had lots of controversy about it. Separation of church and state came into play, and an engineer stepped up and some other folks from the country, and they finally did, I think, finish it around 1922, something like that. But it's endured lots of damage from weather over the years, vandalism over the years. As recently as 2010, they spray painted the face of Jesus black, his hands and his feet, and so they vandalized Christ the Redeemer. And they're going to do a renovation of that as a result of all the storms, all the things this thing has been through in 2020. Now, I share that with you because it's pretty interesting. What does it represent to you and to me? It represents different things to different people. I was intrigued. The president of Art Deco Institute said this about it. Oh, to some people, it's Jesus. It's Christianity. That's why it was built as a representation of the faith of Christianity. But he said, no, not for me, it's just a big welcome to Rio. Just somebody putting their arms out welcoming you to Rio. Not the Savior at all. Who's Jesus to you? Many say he's just a great teacher, like any other good teacher along the way. Or is there something more than that? Now, we know that the church is not about a statue. The church is not about a building. The church is people. And that's what we're going to talk about today. The church is a group of people. When the church began in Acts chapter 2, we see how the church started. Pretty interesting. Jesus rose from the grave. He taught for 40 days. He told the disciples, I'm going back into heaven. And he ascended into heaven. And as he left, he said, here's your mission. Go into all the world and share the message. And that's our mission today. And they were told, you need to repent of your sins and be baptized into Christ on the spot. 3,000 people on the spot came in their clothes and are baptized. Okay? So what happened after, as they were drying off? Well, a few verses later, let's start in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. It says, all the believers then devoted themselves. So all of them now are in. They're all in. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. What we know today is the New Testament now, so it's what the apostles would teach by the Holy Spirit of God, and the fellowship, that's the word we're going to talk about today, and sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, communion that we just shared together, they did that regularly, and to prayer. And we're still devoted to those four things together every weekend, and when we get together with our family and our friends. And so what is the purpose of the church? When you read this, what you need to see is nobody does church alone. Getting connected to Christ and other followers of Christ is what the Bible does call community. Community. The Greek word is koinonia. It means to share life. That's what it is. You share life. And so you can do it in a building, but it's not a building, that's a church. The church is people who are sharing life together. And that's what we're going to focus on today. And this place, we're committed to doing that as a church family, to share life together. But it's not just enough to share life together. You can hang out with all kinds of people. You can become community when you all show up and you're for the same team. During the Olympics, you know, maybe it's U.S., we're all kind of part of the USA team, right? It's community. But we're talking a transformational community. A group of people that you share life with, and it changes or alters your life. That's what we are talking about. Jesus alone can alter a life, but he's chosen to do it through you and through me. And that's the focus of what we're going to talk about today. Dr. Edward Hollowell wrote a book called Connect. Let me read this to you. He wrote this. We really are a nation of doers. We hurry from place to place, filling our lives with all kinds of activities, sometimes overscheduling our kids and ourselves. But what really sustains us emotionally, psychologically, and physically is connectedness. The feeling that we are part of something that really matters. Something larger than ourselves. It gives life meaning. And so at Connection Point Christian Church, that is called community. It's being connected to other people. We have about half, 50% of the adults who will worship here this weekend are connected in a small group. That's way above the national average. Whoop-de-doo. That's not good enough for us. That's 50%. Especially when we're in the house, a bunch of children. If your children are over there, they're in a small group. That building was designed, when you look at the building, for large group meetings and small group meetings from the time they're very young. Our students, middle school, high school, the NET, our 20-something ministry, it's about small groups. And so they are 100% connected, children and the students. We just need to catch up with this. And so that's what we're going to talk about today, getting connected into a relationship as God wants us to be. In fact, it's in the scripture. Jesus himself, when he taught publicly for 3 years, he really invested in a small group, 12 people. He needed their support. He taught them to give support, 12 people for 3 years. So you're tracking with me now? This is not really profound. Jesus needed a small group. The scripture talks about early days they got together. So you and I need to be in a small group, every single one of us. Would you agree with that? Sure you would. Okay. No, any questions about it? Let's stand for closing prayer. You know way better than that, right? You're going, oh, yeah, that's the day you let us out early. Yeah, right, that ain't happening. Well, the deal is it's not going to happen. And here's the reason why. I mean, I would think about doing that, but if we did that, I would suffer from unpreached message syndrome. And when you spend the time doing it, so here it is. So we're just going to have to go through it anyway, okay? So that's the Cliff Notes version. Let's talk about it from another perspective today. Although this is going to be about as simple as we could make it today, because the scripture makes the message very, very simple. You say, what level is this message on today? This is now in the center and the point. This is the first grade class. This is designed for first graders. It really is that simple. Jesus said, unless you adults become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. So keep it simple. Just apply it. Don't overthink it. Live it out. When they hear it, man, they're all in. As adults, we get a little more discerning and all excuses and that kind of stuff. But let's kind of take a cue from them and from the teaching here and just see. I'll bet even you and I can figure this thing out as we talk together about this today, okay? So let's talk about community from three perspectives. He gives us three word pictures designed for first graders, and here's the first one. Community makes me a part of a strong building. So every time you see a strong building, you need to think of, that's the church. That's community, okay? But we're a spiritual building. Notice Ephesians chapter 2, Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus, you are members of God's family, the key word, together, we're his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself, and we are carefully joined, what? Together in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. So the church is effective only when they're linked together. This building has been wired for the future. Thousands of wires in this thing. We've redone the whole building here recently, updated it, and built a lot of new stuff here. And this is for the four generations that are yet to come. This is not for the past. This is for those who are yet to come. Now, Jesus may return back before those four generations come along the way. But we want to have plans and have things in place. We want to be on mission and vision until Christ does return. And so we're always planning and thinking in that kind of way. But this building needs to serve in a very specific purpose of connecting people to Christ on this campus. And so the wires, the beams, the wood, I mean, all the stuff that's here, the switches, the boxes, they all have a purpose. Well, let me ask you this. If a beam is 6 inches short, does that matter? Oh, yeah. all the pipe that's put in there, what if it's a little short, a little long? Problem. And so one problem after another, if a building is not connected, everybody knows the building will not function well. One little disconnection causes a major problem with the building. And that is the image he gives us of the church. That would be you. That would be me. So the question is this. Is it possible that you come here every week, but you're kind of in the community, but you're not of the community? In other words, you come here every week maybe and you sing, and you listen perhaps, or you listen to the music, you hear a message, you may say to some folks that you know, and you leave. And you never get involved in a small group or a ministry. You really are in the building. You're kind of in the community, at least while you're here, but you're not a part of the DNA of the community. Today's the challenge to not miss out on that, to experience the blessing of being a part of that. Because God did not create you to do the Christian life alone. You ought to write that down. You can worship God anywhere, but he didn't make you to worship him alone. He made you and I to worship him with other people. Just like the building has to be connected to function well, every person in the church has to be connected to other people to function the way it was meant to function. So don't miss this. You need to be in a small group, is what that means. Before you need the support of a group. That day is coming. And you never know when or how it's going to happen. And by the way, you don't need to be in a group just when you're really in trouble. You can join a group now because somebody else may be in trouble and they need you now. In a group, you love and you are loved. You receive support and you give support. And so it's a small family within the family, and that really is the vision for God's church. Just like a building has to be connected, every single part has to be connected for the building to work right. We are not working right till every one of us in this church are connected, sharing life with other people that we know by name, and they know us. That makes sense? All right, first graders, that was okay. Let's see how you're doing on the second one. First grade lesson, number two, community makes me a part of a healthy body. The church is like a strong building. The church is like a healthy body. Romans chapter 12, he wrote this to the Roman Christians. Paul wrote, just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. That's the church. We are many parts of one body and we all belong to each other. What does that say to us? Number one, we are all different. Have you noticed that? It's the way it's supposed to be. This series we're going to do together in September and October, we're going to talk about how intentional we need to be in reaching people who are not like us, who are different than us. If we're reaching all the same people, what's the use of that? The typical trend is churches reach people who are just like themselves. That was never the vision for the church, to go across every line you possibly can cross to bring the message of Christianity. And we're going to celebrate stories about that all those 2 months in September and October, but it's just a fact it needs to be that way again today. For the church to do well, we all are different, and so we all are needed. What are you talking about? You say, well, I can do something, but somebody's already doing the job in the church that I could do. Well, maybe, but nobody can do it the way you would do it. You're a spiritual snowflake. You can be another teacher. You can serve in another kind of way, but you're going to serve just the way God's wired you. Your experiences bring something to the table that's unique from your perspective. And so every hurt, every habit, every hang-up, every experience, God wants to use all of that, your gifts, your talents, everything. And the church will never be all it's meant to be if your part doesn't come to the table. If you don't bring what you have, your uniqueness, bring it to the church, all right? Number two, we all play different roles in the church. Again, healthy body. Every single part of the body has this function. Can you imagine if all the parts of your body were the same? Have you ever thought about this? This is messed up. Let's just for a minute think about this. Can you imagine if every part of your body was devoted to digestion? What are you thinking now? So I walk out here and you're watching, you see a digestive system speaking to you. Number one, I don't think the digestive system speaks. But when I think, if the whole body were just a digestive system, that's gross. It wouldn't be very effective. It would be very uncomfortable, I would assume very uncomfortable. Be very inefficient. You need to be protected, you know, right? The digestive system has to be protected, so you'd be all kinds of problems that way. Well, you can take any part of the body and say, if it's all just one function, one part, that's messed up. That's not a healthy body, you would say. That's a sick body. And you're right. If it isn't corrected, this person's going to continue to be very, very sick. So God created us in that kind of way to understand this. So hear me now. We're going to celebrate baptism today, and many people are going to come here, and you're coming individually, personally, to be baptized into Christ. So you come to Christ by yourself to surrender to Him, but you keep your commitment to Christ with other people. That's what you need to write down. You come to Christ, nobody can come to Christ for you. No baby can come to Christ on their own. Parents can say, we're going to raise this child to know of God, but that child comes to a point where they are making the decision to come to Christ. Okay? They have to choose to come. Nobody's saved on the family plan. You make that decision, but you cannot keep the commitment on your own. I'm telling you, you cannot do it. God created the church to help us, each other, cheering each other on so we can do this together. And so that's why we're camping on this today, because we all make the body complete, he teaches us. 1 Corinthians 12, now this is funny. First graders would laugh at this. We'll see if you guys get it or not. Here we go. The body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, so the foot's going to talk. That funny? Ready to go, man. All right, here we go. Appreciate that. If the foot says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not a hand, I can't pick up stuff. That doesn't make it any less a part of the body, right? What if the ear says? Now, picture this, okay? Go up somebody's ear and the ear's going to talk to you. How cool is that be? Yeah? Kids think that's funny. If the ear says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not an eye, I can't talk about the beauty the way the eye can. Would that make it any less a part of your body? Of course not. If the whole body were an eye, now that's funny. Wouldn't you like it if I walked out here to preach today and just a big old eyeball's in front of you right now? Just a big old eyeball. Okay? People make movies about stuff like this. And Paul said, here's the picture. Do you understand what this picture is like? If your whole body were an ear, that's even better. What does an ear do? Just produce wax. Awesome. If that were your whole body, just one big old ear, that's just absurd. He wants us to hear the absurdity of it. How foolish is that? You don't think every part's necessary, see? How would you smell anything if you're just an ear, okay? But our bodies, they have many different parts, and God put each part just where He wants it to be, everybody included. Now, some of you are thinking, okay, I'm with that, but I'm just a toenail. Okay. Have you ever had an ingrown toenail? You ever lost a toenail? Mini marathon, Chris and I both lost a toenail. Is that a big deal? When your finger hurts, is that a big deal? This got infected last night. This thing was hurting me big time. Honey, I can't get anything. Could you come bring it to me, honey? I can't even walk. But my finger's hurting, right? It didn't work, yeah. But just a small part, the whole body rallies. That small part, it matters. That little bitty thing, oh man, it matters a lot. In fact, just have a little surgery on that little toe and see how things working out for you. You do every single part, the parts that you think are a big deal and the parts that you don't think are a big deal. Every single part is necessary, and that's God's vision for the church. Every light in your home is important. What's the most important light in your home? Can you take some lights out and say, well, we need these, we don't need these. You ever have a light go out and go, well, you know, we really don't need that one. No, you're probably going to use it. Now, the most important light in my house is to light this on when I get up in the middle of the night to go into the prayer room. Who else gets up and goes to the prayer room in the middle of the night? All right, feeling the love. All right, good. You boldly approach the God, the Lord, you know? Okay. And so that light's pretty important so you don't bump into stuff. Now, my wife might say, no, Steve, you need to pay attention to the light that comes on when you open the refrigerator in the middle of the night. Different lights emphasize different things to us, right? Every light matters. Every person here matters. It's not complete. The body isn't functioning well. It's an unhealthy body if you and I are not each dialed into this thing. And so you, please hear me, you are needed. No matter what you think right now, you are desperately needed as a part of this body, the church. Let me make it even clearer to you. Some of you are fairly new to this church. And you said, you know, I really connect with what's going on here. But God's reminding you today, you didn't come here just to like what's going on. You came here to find your purpose in serving me. You are not, there's not a person here by accident today. You may not even live here. This may be the only week you're ever here. I hope you don't think it's just an accident. You just kind of showed up at church today. You're here on purpose. And God wants you to know that and how desperately we need you to be all in and be who you are for his honor and his glory, okay? God cannot fulfill all he wants to do through you until you offer what you are and what you have to him. Number four, we all belong to each other. We belong to each other. As I said, you make a commitment to Christ yourself, but you make a commitment to other people to do the Christian life together. So don't miss this. The Christian experience really is a matter of belonging. It is all about belonging. And then number five, we all need to be connected in community. I mean, the eyeball cannot function if you take it away from the body. It's not going to work. This hand will not work well if it's detached from the body. It only works if it's connected to the body. And God wants you to be connected because you cannot follow Christ and you cannot grow spiritually on your own. You have to be connected. Let me say it this way. The first time you came here to church, many people do this every week. They kind of come to me with like a deer in headlights. I've never been in a church like this before this big. And I go, neither was I. None of us here were raised in a church of this size. It's not about the size. And so it's like, how do I get connected here? Here's the goal for everybody in the church. We want you to get to know 60 people in the life of the church. That's the goal for everyone. 60 people, and it's not hard to do. It's very easy for you to do that. The thing is to go, it's just too big, it's overwhelming. I just show up to church, in and out, I'm good with that. But I'm telling you, to be connected, you need to know and be known. So if you get in a small group, and you start to serve in some kind of ministry, you'll know about 60 people. You know what the average size of a church is in America? 60 people. That's the average size in a church. It's about the size where if the DNA is everybody has to know everybody, then if that defines a church, you can't be beyond 60 people. Let me ask you this question. Can the church ever be too big? What do you think about that? Okay, I think the church is too big. Whenever somebody says to me, I think the church is just getting too big, I say, aren't you glad they didn't say that before you got in? Oh, yeah. There's always room for one more. And God sends people to us. He's done this for 30 years. And the elders, we pray about it every time. God, you're sending us all these people here, and this is a test. Will we care for them? Will we provide room for them? Will we provide training to them? Will we provide people they connect with and grow? Will we teach them how to serve? Because if we drop the ball, God can quickly turn off the faucet. He'll send them somewhere else. And so that's the challenge. God sends them to us. It's not an option to say, oh, will we care for them or not? We must care for them and be the church. And God will decide who he'll send to us. And he's sending people hungering and thirsting for him. The mission demands that. And so that's why, please get involved in a smaller group within the church. You know, nobody here, if you're in a small group or ministry, nobody shows up going, this place is just way too big. Because now when you come, you don't see a big old crowd. You go, hey, there's your friend. Or, let me introduce you to my friend. Somebody in your small group brings a friend. Maybe you sit together. Are you sharing life together? And that is what our dream is for you, to get that connected in the life of the church. And there's not an exception in the house. Okay? Every single one of us, we want you to be a part of this. So first grade class, let's see how we're doing. The church is like a community. It is a what? Number one, it was a what? A strong building. Okay, you can peek back at your nose. And the church is what? Healthy body. Here's the third one, first graders. Community makes me a sheep in God's flock. Whenever you see sheep and a flock of sheep, there we are. And you are a sheep. So if you are a sheep in God's flock, would you go like this? Bah. You all just did that. I don't believe you did that. I knew you'd fall for it. But you know what? Kind of this is good to remind ourselves. Yeah, we're just like sheep. We don't have it together, man. Sheep are not, by the way, very smart. I'm just saying. They will get lost without leadership. They must have a shepherd. And so we are called to shepherd each other, but the good news is there's a shepherd who is like a beyond a shepherd. He knows everything about us. Psalm 100, verse 3 says, acknowledge that the Lord, he is God. He made us. We're his. We're his people. We are the what? We are the sheep of his pasture. Love that. Then Jesus expanded on that definition in John 10, verse 11. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. We remember Christ today in communion. He sacrificed his life literally. Treated as a criminal, though he'd never sinned, so our sin would be covered. Those two sacraments today we celebrate, of baptism and communion, they both remind us of that. And so people are going to walk forward today in their clothes. They weren't planning on doing it, some of you right now. And then the point and then the center. We're not planning on getting wet today. But you're going to walk down here in a few minutes. You're going to say, I want to celebrate Christ died for me on the cross. Would you bury me in the water the way he was buried in a tomb? Would you bring me back out of the water because I want to keep living? And Jesus came out of the dead. He came up to the grave. You'll be brought from the water. And you come and you experience that, the body of Christ. And so you walk in there by yourself, but you come out of there as part of the family of God and go on this journey in the Christian life. And he leads us like the shepherd. He's led us every step of the way, and he'll continue to lead us, and he'll protect us. What's a shepherd do? He protects your heart and your soul. Who will protect your soul? You ever wonder about that? Who's got your heart? Who's guarding your heart? He does. The Bible says he judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. He understands why we do what we do. Do you understand why you do what you do? How many times yesterday did you go, why did I do that? The last service. My wife wasn't there. I spilled water all over the place. Took my water and just spilled everywhere. I was glad I was in this service where we have most people who are my age and older. I said, how many do that every day? We make messes. But honey, it's just water, just water. We make those messes. We do it all the time. We're just sheep. We're just struggling. We try to hide it, but we're struggling. But God said, let me clean that up for you. Let me clean you up. Let me use you. Let me empower you. And when that happens, we experience the blessing of being shepherded. What do you mean to be shepherded? Don't you love the 23rd Psalm? Is there a passage in the Bible that's more beautiful than this? God has got your back, man. He's got your front. It says this, the Lord, he's my shepherd. I shall not want. I won't really need anything. He'll provide it. He makes me lie down in the green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Did you write down the three words? What's a shepherd do? He leads you. He comforts you. He restores you. Question, Jesus is not here in the flesh anymore. How's he going to do that? Only one way. His body, the church. He created us to lead each other. He created us to restore each other. Say, come on, let's pick you up and dust you off. Let's keep rolling here. So you messed up. Let's keep going. I'm hurting. Who comforts you? The church comforts you. And when you know and you're known in groups like that, God will shepherd you, and he delegates that to each other, the sheep, to care for each other. Isn't that a wonderful image of the picture of God's love for us? He has us in every sense of the word. And so he does it through the church. He gives us comfort and love and strength. And so the key is we must be connected to receive all of this. Now, I'm going to be honest with you for a minute. We got to talk. So before we do this, you know I love you, right? Why do you sound nervous right now? You know I love you, right? Okay. I do love you. But you also, I need to say something to you, right? Oh, you're really all in, aren't you? Nervous time. What's it mean? I'm going from preaching to meddling. No, I'm just going to lay it out there. The deal is, you can come here and just show up to church. You really can. You can observe the service, say hey to some folks that you know, come back next week, jot down some thoughts, maybe on an outline, and then come back next week. You can do that. It's easy to do that. We're not going to follow you to make sure you're following through and getting involved. No, you can do this. You're an adult. But you will not be led or restored or strengthened as he wants you to be if you don't get connected. You're very naive to think, I can do this on my own. The Lord created the church because he knew we could not do this on our own. And so, see, when we are in people's lives, and if we don't take seriously, I've got to love that person. I have to help them be restored. I've got to protect that person. I've got to comfort that person. So when you get in relationship with people, man, you're devoted to that person. They devoted themselves to fellowship. They devoted themselves to sharing life together and loving those who are easy to love or not so easy to love. And so we have this Group Connect event next Sunday night. Please, if you are not in a small group, would you sign up to come to that next Sunday night? Hundreds of people are going to come here, and you're going to meet some people, and you're going to go, I don't want to be a group with them. Now, you don't say it out loud. I know I shouldn't have even said that. That's not Christian, is it? But it may be quite real, though. Can we talk? I mean, there are people you connect with. There are people that you don't. There are people who you have similar styles of life, personalities of life. So we want you to connect with people where you think you're just going to connect. Doesn't have to be perfect. But the truth is, it's trial and error. You say, well, I tried a group, and it just really didn't work. We'll try it again. You ever date somebody that didn't work out? I dated a girl in college. Her name was Jody Crummy. And she was crummy. I'm sorry, Jody, if you're out there somewhere. Boy, I'm glad I didn't quit. I kept going until I got Kristen. Come on now. Come on. You stay with it, right? Try a small group. Keep going, man. Keep going. Keep trying. Try the ministry. Didn't work. Try something else. Last week, some of you signed up to serve for the first time. You still haven't done it. Get on it. It's time right now. This is your time. Step up and serve. Begin to serve in some small way, maybe for a few weeks. Test drive it. Okay? Begin to pray every day as you have been for somebody that you're going to invite to come to hear about connecting to Christ on September 10th through the 11th and say, you know what? Oh, man, am I really going to do this? Sign up to come and meet some people and get connected in a group as we study through this amazing study together for 6 weeks, just a six-week window. And you do that and you'll begin to thrive the way God wants you to thrive as a part of the church. Okay? You know what I love? Once in a while, I'll go to the hospital. Somebody will call me to come to visit someone at the hospital. And so I go up to the desk, say, I'm here to see so-and-so. And the person says, I'm sorry, you can't go back right now. They already have their allotment of visitors back there. I go, well, I'm their pastor. Just saying. No, they already have their pastor with them back there, I think. No, I'm the pastor. Prime Minister. When I walk into my house, my wife says, "Oh, thou benevolent father of this home." No, not really. Usually if I bug them enough, they go, yeah, we got one of those. Yeah, we'll send it back. So I say, let me go back. And then, this has happened probably 50 times or more, I walk in and there's like their whole small group is there. And the leader, their shepherd, is there. And they're talking, laughing about stuff, and I don't feel like I'm included. And I leave, and they don't even know I left. That hurts. And you know what happens? I have a little prayer with them, and I leave. And I get in my car. I know what's going to happen when I start to drive home. At some point, I will start to cry. I'm going to hear Jesus say, "This is the way. That's what I want the church to be. That's how the church is supposed to function. When it's working right, that's how it works." And you do not want to miss out on that. That's real life. We all are called to shepherd and love each other as he first of all shepherded and loved us. And so he says in the beginning, they devoted themselves to this. And then verse 46 says, so they worshiped, this is the beginning of the church, they worshiped how? Together at the temple every day. They met in homes for the Lord's Supper, had their small groups. They shared their meals with great joy and generosity. They shared with each other. And so that's what we do here. And I'm telling you, we hear so many amazing stories from our small group. By all groups in the church, I received an email not long ago from a family in our church, and I said, "Can we tell your story of the transformational community of your small group?" And they said, "We would love to tell our story." So sit down and you watch how God changed a family's life through a small group. Watch this.
So when we were 29 weeks pregnant, we had an ultrasound to follow up on our growth scan, and at that ultrasound, the doctor told us that Beckett was only measuring in the 6th percentile for weight. And that meant that he was growth restricted and that basically he wasn't getting the nutrition that he needed from my body. I remember I went out to the car and I just bawled for like 15 minutes. And, just absolutely sobbing because, you know, there was nothing that I could do, according to the doctor. And I sat in the car and I just texted everyone. You know, after I talked to Zach, I texted everyone in our small group, you know, my coworkers, my family, and, you know, told them, "Hey, we have this urgent prayer need." You know, the small group just really stepped up. And, you know, the very next night, they had like an emergency meeting and came over to our house and stood in a circle around me and laid hands on me and prayed. And, you know, in that 3 weeks, we were going to the doctor, you know, every 3 days for checkups. And, you know, every time that we would have an appointment, you know, people in the small group, "How did it go?" texting me, you know, what was the update? How's the baby? They didn't know that it was a boy yet, but, you know, they really rallied around us. And, you know, for us, we have family that's really far away.
It's at least 4 hours away and 12 hours away, and so small group really is our family.
From there on, we had appointments every 2 weeks, or twice a week. We had appointments twice a week to monitor, just make sure that he wasn't becoming too weak. And then we had a follow-up scan scheduled for 3 weeks after that. And at that 3 week scan, the measurement came in and he had gained almost 3 pounds in 3 weeks, which is absolutely miraculous amount of growth. And, you know, the doctor was even, you know, thinking she had the wrong chart in front of her and, you know, questioning. She double checked all of the measurements that the technician had made to make sure that there wasn't a mistake. And at our next follow-up scan 3 weeks later, He had grown to where he was in like the 49th percentile for weight, perfectly average. And Beckett was born at 39 and a half weeks, perfectly healthy, natural delivery, and a really, really awesome miracle in that kind of 9-week period. I can't imagine being a part of Connection Point without the small group and those people and those connections that we've made. Like, I would feel like you just become lost in this sea of people.
Well, because, I mean, you're used to a church of 100 people, and so when you go from a church of 100 to a church of over 4,000, you can be lost in the sea of confusion and people everywhere, and small groups for us have helped us. These are the 20 people we know, really tight-knit, 15, 20 people, and even that helps you branch out a little more to reach, you know, 40 or 50, where you're back at what would be a small church, but it's a tight-knit community that you really know and trust. It's just something different when you have a community that's there by your side. You can really feel them pulling for you, praying for you, and just there at every step of the way to help support.
God's vision is that we would rejoice for those who rejoice and weep for those who weep, and sometimes as great answers to miraculous prayer, sometimes difficult things happen and we hang to each other through that as well. But that's God's vision for the church. So it's twofold. We make a commitment to surrender to Christ, and then we make a commitment to be committed to other people and go through the Christian journey. It kind of summarized really, really well, I think, in this passage. Colossians chapter 2, some of you, as you prepare for your baptism today, to surrender to Christ, to being immersed in water, the scripture says, just as Christ, as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, have you done that? Then continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him. That's where you grow, you get connected. And let your lives be built on him. And then your faith will grow strong in the truth that you were taught, and you'll overflow with thankfulness. For you were buried, here we go, you were buried with Christ when you were what? Baptized. So it's a first grade lesson. You're under the water, you're brought out of the water. Jesus was buried in a tomb, he came out of the tomb. Some of you were sprinkled for baptism or as a child. This is a chance for you to renew your own faith, for you to make your personal decision for you. It doesn't take away from what's happened. This builds on where you are. When you surrender to him and are baptized into Christ, and it says, and you are raised to new life. You brought out of the water, you're raised. It reflects the new life you have in Christ. Why? Because you trusted the mighty power of God. The water didn't save you. It's the power of God that saves you, who raised Christ from the dead. And you were dead, you know, because of your sins and because of your sinful nature, which was not yet cut away. But then God made you alive with Christ. He forgave all of our sins. He canceled the record of the charges against us, and he took it away by nailing it to the cross. That's why we've come to celebrate today. And every person who's baptized, we're going to celebrate. God has canceled those sins in our lives, and we celebrate together. The Bible says when just one person comes to him, all the angels of heaven stop and rejoice. They rejoice. Don't you like the fact that we rejoice together, we weep together, we're burdened together, but we have some fun together too. Chloe Dygert. Is Chloe here? Where is she? Chloe, are you here? Where is she? Balcony. Up there. And she's going to be married here November the 19th, I think it is, in a few weeks. But here's what we know about you, Chloe. She's a silver medalist, and she'll be a gold medal in 4 years if you keep working on this thing. That's what she said. I heard her say that, so it's a done deal, you know. But you know what? She also is a mess. Aren't right? We won't tell them how, but you're a mess, right? Everybody's a mess. Nobody's perfect. We all need God's grace. And sometimes the people who look like even the most celebrated people in the world sometimes, when we're drawn to them, when they realize their life is a mess. There's another person you've seen throughout the Olympics. Here's a picture, Michael Phelps. Is that awesome picture? That's keeping it real. Did you hear when he was interviewed on Today Show? 2014, he had all these gold medals. His father died when he was young. We talk a lot about unresolved grief. At some point, it's going to do a number on you if you haven't given it to somebody who can help you with that. So he's in rehab. While he was in rehab, he wanted to take his life. He said, I had no identity outside the pool. And Ray Lewis, the guy who like hurt people for a living with the Baltimore Ravens, brought him a book called The Purpose-Driven Life. And Michael Phelps came to Christ. And he was real mindful, he said, because everybody looks at him all the time. They talk about him all the time. And they just said, you know, this is a big deal. Mike Ray Lewis said, you make this decision, you talk about it. You're on Today Show, you're going to talk about it. You sure you want to do this? He said, you know what? I decided it doesn't matter. It took me a long time to let go and hold on and grab a hold. And I'm hanging on. I'm grabbing a hold of it. Whatever people think about it, this is where I'm going. Now, where are you? Are you that... You're beaten up, you're struggling, finding your identity, you need forgiveness, you need hope. The Lord takes us as we are, and he wants to make us into who he wants us to be. But you have to say, you know what? I've held on long enough. When will you let go? When will you surrender to him? And so here we go again. We're going to have a baptism service. How many have you been to? For some of you, it's your first. For some, you've seen it your whole life. And you always stand there and you hang on to that chair. Maybe today you'll let go. Maybe today, say, Lord, I turn myself in. Would you be the forgiver of my sins? Would you be the leader and the coach of my life? For the real part of me, God, would you come to me? Would you forgive me? As I go public with this thing, that means I'm all in. I'm kind of accountable for this. And then, God, would you bring people into my life who will go in the journey with me so we can follow him together. This is your moment. This is your time. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to sing. I'm going right down to that door, and I can't wait to greet you down there. And then we're going to celebrate together as many come to demonstrate their faith in Christ and go public. And then on the way out of here, begin the process of getting connected together. Would you bow your heads with me? Let's pray. Kind Father, we thank you for loving us the way we are, but you also love us too much to let us stay that way, so you're always challenging us. And today the challenge, it's a high price. It's not money, it's time. There's a risk. New relationships are a risk. But God, it is worth the risk. We so need to go in the journey with other people. Thank you, we have this place where hundreds are looking for the same thing. And so, God, just bring us together as you want to. And in this moment, we pray for every single person here, those who have maybe made a decision years ago for Christ, but never were immersed into Christ. They've always wanted to do this. They've always wanted to. And here today, we have the sheets and the shirts and the towels and everything they need just to come as they are to celebrate, as they did in Bible times. And we just rejoice with them. For some, if they'll confess Christ for the first time in just a moment with their lips. And so immediately, then they'll come and celebrate their faith in Christ. Some were... Sprinkled years ago, perhaps, or were affirmed as a child. But there's something inside of them that, you know, this is something they can now do to reaffirm their faith, themselves, their choice, their decision. It doesn't take away from their past journey. It just adds one more piece, one more layer of surrender to you completely. Humbling ourselves to be buried in water, come out of that water, new life in Christ. It reflects that, and we celebrate new life together. God, I just pray you'll bring joy to every single heart and bring people alongside every single hurt and joy until one day we're with you forever. So together now, God, in the point in the center, we simply say these words together out loud. Every believer, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and I accept him as my only Lord and my only Savior. And God, even some here today, maybe were baptized years ago or immersed years ago, But life has come along and they've lost their way. They're back and they desire kind of a fresh start. Maybe they desire to come be baptized, start anew. And just, God, meet us with this second chance that you give us, and we give you praise and honor and thanks in advance. In the mighty name of Christ we pray. Everybody said, amen. Let's stand, let's sing, you come, let's celebrate.